Don Jackson Blattner, the flexitarian, the author and registered dietitian nutritionist. You can follow her at DJ Blattner on Instagram, or donjacksonblattner.com is the website. She joins us just about every week to give us some good cooking ideas, some nutrition ideas. You know, sometimes I think, Don, in some people's minds, those are contradictions of terms, right? Delicious food and healthy, nutritious food are different conversations. But you kind of pop that bubble, don't you?
Oh, that is just the nicest compliment. Thank you for that. Because it really is true that if something is healthy and it doesn't taste good, who cares? Because no one's going to eat it. You know, so it really, taste rules. And you have to have things taste good. And they can also be good for you.
I'm still here, Don, but the piece of paper I had some notes for you is over there. So, hey, how about...
I was wondering if what happened. I was like, oh my gosh, maybe he's whipping up a little fall recipe in the studio over there.
No, I'm not doing that. But listen to this. 773 says, hey, Don, do you have a suggestion for a pumpkin soup recipe? Less the pumpkin spice flavor and more the savory. I will use everything. I just grew my first pumpkin ever. I don't know. What do you have any ideas there, Dawn?
Well, first we must congratulate that green thumb. I mean, to grow your own pumpkin is like bringing a tear to my eye. So congratulations on that. Yes. And I have a great idea. Actually, a client just emailed me and said that she used my carrot ginger soup recipe. And instead of using carrots, she used pumpkin. Because pumpkin and ginger really go well together, and it's a very easy recipe. So if you're using that pumpkin, you roast it first, you know, that beautiful pumpkin from your garden, roasting it first, and then it's just olive oil, onion, and ginger, a little salt and pepper in the bottom of a pan, pop in your cooked, roasted pumpkin, and then adding your favorite broth. So it could be vegetable broth, it could be chicken bone broth. And then I garnish it with like a little bit of, I call it lemon cashew cream, but it could be even a dollop of sour cream or Greek yogurt on top. And you must, if you're making pumpkin soup, you must roast those pumpkin seeds and put them on top, because there is no better thing than having pumpkin soup with some crunchy pumpkin seeds on top. But hey, you know what? I was just thinking, I had chili with pumpkin in it last fall, and it was some of my favorite chili. So if you don't want to just have a pumpkin soup, you could have your favorite chili recipe and just add that roasted pumpkin to the chili.
But that would be kind of squishy. Like, what would be the consistency of the roasted pumpkin in your chili?
Well, I'll tell you what's so great, especially when you are doing it from your own garden pumpkin. You can watch it being roasted and not roast it till it is mushy. You can roast it, you know, maybe 45 minutes instead of 55 minutes so that it's still in good sized chunks. I love that idea because, you know, cumin is related to ginger. So why I like that pumpkin ginger soup so much and why I would like it in chili so much is because they're very related. But, you know, if you are like, ugh, I don't want ginger, what else could I do? The very fall herb that you could use is rosemary, because it's very fall-like, just like pumpkin, and they go well together. So lots of options, lots of options.
Your recipe or recipes are where? Do those live on your website?
They do live on my website. So if you want to use that carrot ginger soup as some inspiration for a pumpkin ginger soup, yes, you can find it on my website.
DonJacksonBlattner.com. You also had an article that you shared about nutrition and aging. Can you catch me up on that?
Well, do you know why I sent it over to you?
No.
Because I heard a belated birthday, happy birthday from yesterday, is due to you.
Thank you. Yes, I turned 106.
Well, hey, in all seriousness, happy birthday. I love celebrating birthdays because it really is, you know, a privilege to grow old and age. But yeah, I sent over this study that I love. It's a new study that just came out earlier this year, and it looked at nearly 2,000 people and said, okay, if we wanted to slow aging and optimize aging, what would people need to be eating? And in this study, their genetic markers, how they are aging, actually slowed by doing several very interesting things, none of which probably are surprising since we've talked so much. But here's what helped their aging slow down. It was a diet that had a lot of fruits and vegetables, nuts, beans, whole grains, and low-fat dairy. And their diet had less red meat and processed meat, sugary drinks, and sodium. So these are things that we talk about a lot, but I think the exciting thing is that they actually pay off, that when you look at these genes and these genetic markers, people are aging more optimally when they have a diet that resembles that.
You're right. No shockers there. It seems like anytime anybody wants to tell me how not to get dementia, how not to get cancer, how to live a long life, they say, eat more grains and nuts and don't eat processed meat. So there's no shockers here, right?
There's no shockers, but I will say that a lot of times all that advice can go one ear and out of the other because it's like, I don't even know. I'm busy today. I don't want to deal with it. So I do have sort of a checklist that I use to make sure that I'm meeting that in some ways. And one of the things I do on my checklist is what I call a plate check. That before I eat, I just quickly look down in my plate and say, you know, are there fruits and vegetables here? it's a simple little thing that I can say, oh my gosh, like it's pretty low in vegetables. Grab a handful of spinach from my fridge and shove it on there. Or the other day I was eating and I was like, this is pretty low in vegetables. So I took a few carrot sticks and celery sticks and I ate it there. So it doesn't have to be dramatic. Or if you look at your breakfast and you're like, oh, this is a bowl of cereal. I don't have any fruit on it. Put some berries on there. So I like to plate check as sort of an actionable of how to actually do this study. Another thing that I love to do is every week open a can of beans, rinse and drain them. Black beans, pinto beans, garbanzo beans, any kind of beans. And then I have them in my fridge just staring at me every time I open the fridge. And they remind me to put them in salads, put them in stir fries, like have more beans in my life, because sometimes it can be an easy thing to forget. But when they're rinsed and drained and they're right there, you do more of them. And then I do also love a checklist of, did I snack on nuts today? I think, you know, I'm always looking for a good snack that's crunchy. And I think, making sure that you're getting nuts is at least one of your snacks. But really can help you achieve what this study was saying. And then finally, looking at whole grains on wrappers, we talked about this. So, you know, when you pick up your bread or your sandwich wraps or crackers or your buns or your pasta, you know, are you seeing in the ingredient list the word whole? Because that's what this study is saying, that, you know, hey, you really need to choose these whole grains. And so those are some of the, just the actionables that you can use to try and meet up with those study guidelines.
I didn't know that I should look for you've taught me well to look for whole when I'm buying, breads and buns, but I didn't know that would apply to pasta as well.
Yeah, pasta is in that category. Now, I will say you can get whole grain pasta for sure, but nowadays there's like so many different kinds of pastas you can try too that aren't even made from grains, like chickpea pasta or like hearts of palm pasta. You really can play in that pasta avenue. If you want grains, get whole grains, or you can play with others.
When you look at your plate and you don't see enough vegetables, how do you score mashed potatoes?
Oh, mashed potatoes are actually a vegetable, but they are a starchy vegetable.
Yep.
So what you would say is you say, okay, you know what, I have potatoes there. I have some, you know, barbecue chicken there or whatever kind of protein you want. And then trying to get some non-starchy vegetables on your plate, too. So that could be, you know, a quick spinach salad, or it could be, you know, just like some cut-up cucumber. I mean, it doesn't really have to be that big of a deal, but to try and round it out with some non-starchy veggies, too.
Celery does you any good? I thought that was kind of a zero food, celery.
Oh, poor celery needs a better PR manager, I feel, because it really is. It's got vitamin C. It's got fiber. It is good for you. But you're right. It does have a lot of water, too. So it's a hydrating food with benefits. So, you know, don't count it out.
You just heard the phrase, oh, poor celery. by the way, one other thing. I got to take a break, and then we'll take some phone calls or text messages. 312-981-7200. Registered dietitian, nutritionist, and author. This is the lady that helped the Cubs win the World Series. I don't know why you don't say that more often. Don Jackson Blattner was their nutritionist for years, but You know what you're also reminding me of when you said open a can of beans and put it in the fridge and eventually you'll say, okay, I got to use those beans. Didn't you tell us that the crisper in your refrigerator is where fruits and vegetables go to die, that you should not bury them in there because then they just go to old and bad? You need to keep them on the shelf in front of your face.
Well done. You get an A+ for that for sure. I call it the rip drawer. Rest in peace. When you put stuff in the crisper, you forget about it. So, yes, bring them at eye level, and you'll definitely eat more of them.
Talking to Dawn Jackson Blattner, you can find her recipes and good ideas at DawnJacksonBlattner.com. On Instagram, she's DJ Blattner. I got some questions from our listeners for you. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, sounds great.
John, please ask your guest how I can wean myself off sugar treats, chocolate, candy, baked goods without feeling deprived.
I mean, this is definitely not uncommon, right? This is so many of us deal with this. And I'll tell you, one of the most important things is actually eating regular meals. Now, I know a lot of times people feel like, you know, their sweet tooth comes out of nowhere and they just, they need it. But many times the sweet tooth is because we have had irregular meals or we have gone too long without eating and our body is like, oh my gosh, I need quick energy, and quick energy is sugar. And so a lot of times those cravings come because we don't have balanced regular meal time. So that's really the first thing. Then the second thing I would say is if you're like, no, I tell you, I'm having these regular meals, they're balanced, and I still have the sweet tooth. It could be that you are a victim of coupling. And what that means is that you've eaten sweets doing something else so many times that you've become this Pavlovian dog. And so at night, you've eaten dinner, you go sit at the TV, and you eat sweets. And so guess what happens? You go sit at that TV, and your body says, oh, Pavlovian dog time. I need to go eat sweets. And so really shaking up your routine will help tremendously because you'll have different cues and different things happening. So don't sit in the same chair and watch TV. Don't watch TV at all. Go listen to a podcast. Go watch TV in a different room. Anything you can do to shake up your routine will help with that habitualization, that coupling, and it will help you uncouple those behaviors. Yes.
I find sometimes when I want a snack and candy corns would work, nuts are a nice substitute for me. Same size, same shape, same feel, you know, if, even though it's not the corn syrup that you, maybe I was really jonesing for. But listen to this. 708 says, please ask Dawn if all nuts are created equal, including pistachios.
Ooh, yes. So you get credit. You get health credit for eating any type of nut. And so pistachios most definitely are considered one of the best snacking nuts, and that's because they are a good source of plant protein. But just like all nuts, they have protein and fiber and good fats. The other thing that pistachios are good for is if you find yourself really being like a speed nut eater, pistachios, when you buy them in the shelf, can slow you down. You know, so it takes a little bit of extra work. But, you know, almonds, pecans, walnuts, all of those definitely count. And because, go ahead.
Well, finish that because, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, because it is pumpkin season, we just had a listener be growing their own pumpkins. Don't forget that seeds count in this as well. So if you do enjoy snacking on pumpkin seeds, that counts toward your health just as much as nuts would too.
Your thoughts on my honey roasted cashews, almonds, peanuts?
Hey, listen, you do get credit because they are the base. They're a nut that has plant protein, fiber, and good fats. I usually will say mix. So you love those, you keep eating those, and then buy some that aren't honey roasted and give yourself a 50-50 mix so that some of them are sweet and some of them are not.
Hey, Dawn, do pickles count as a vegetable?
Well, hey, my mother tells me pickle was my first word. So I got to tell you, I am a very pro-pickle person, and they do count as a vegetable. The only thing I would warn you of is if you're watching your sodium level, do pay attention to the salt, because they do tend to be pretty salty.
Ladies, we have about a minute left, and Nan has a question for you. Nan, you're on WGN with Dawn.
Okay. Hi, Dawn. Hi, John. My question is, I am the mom of two teenagers, and they like to eat out, and they're always hungry. Any tips on how to keep them healthy? They also play sports.
Oh, I love a good active teen that is eating you out of house and home, right? And I got to say, the biggest, most important thing is just what an adult's job is, and that is to have your house stocked with healthy food. And their job is to eat it. So making sure that if they love Chipotle, for example, and by the way, P.S., I did this with the Cubs a lot, I find out what kind of food they like when they're dining out, and I try and have similar stuff in the house that's easy to grab. So, for example, you know, they like Chipotle so much, making sure that you have in the fridge, you know, grilled chicken they could take out, some brown rice that's already cooked, you know, a bag of vegetables, their guacamole and sour cream, and so they can make some of their favorites without having to cook anything themselves right there. Or quick sandwich fixings, or quick trays of, like, veggie trays that people eat at parties, but I call it an everyday veggie tray. We should always have it in
there. Let me ask you this.
So, you mentioned
guacamole, which can be a little expensive, but let's spend the money if it's healthy. Say dipping the celery and carrot into guacamole. Good snack, high in calories, right?
Oh, it's such a great snack. Avocados are amazing with fiber and good fats. And so in the 80s, we were like, don't eat fat. But now we are like, yes, please eat fat, especially that good fat from like an avocado. And if you want to hike up the protein of that snack, you can mix avocado, mashed avocado, with Greek plain yogurt. And it can be sort of this high-protein guacamole that you can have with veggies.
Okay, I'm exhausted. You've always got such great ideas. We podcast these conversations at WGNradio.com. You'll be able to hear this and share this with your friends. And all the questions that have come in, we didn't get to many of them. We'll run some of them by you this time next week. Okay, Dawn?
Awesome. Have a great week.